What up, Whitewater? How is everybody doing? Can we say everybody? Everybody in the club. Nope, they're not getting. They better not be getting. Everybody have a good night's sleep? Everybody have a good Christmas break? See, I'm speaking to you a few weeks later than I anticipated. Everybody ready for school to start tomorrow? Get that degree, earn that money. Get that dream car, which is probably like an old Honda Accord 1982. Ford Tempo 1987. I believe they're now called the Ford Taurus. Anybody? I'm not funny. I made so much money when I graduated college and started putting my degree to use. It was unreal. Unreal how much money I made. What's that? My Bentley looks nice. Yeah, it's sweet. It's sick. So I got to speak to you today. I'm Adam Koop. I am the Vision and Creative Arts Pastor here at Whitewater Christian Church. Does anybody know what that means? I don't either. That means I help steer this beast that we call Whitewater Christian Church, that we call us, right? That means it's my job to listen to God and hear from God and to help us grow, right? And I am backed up by Matt Coulter, who is our teaching pastor. We do things a little bit different. Normally, the teaching pastor is the vision pastor, is the guy that helps facilitate all these things. But we said, we don't want to do anything traditional. And so we said, Matt, we need you to be our teaching pastor. He said, I guess I can for a little while. Actually, he's awesome. And so he comes on as our teaching pastor. I'm on staff with Craig Johnson, who is our discipleship pastor, and Kanan Hurst, the most beautiful man you've ever seen. Right? No, I'm not even lying. You guys are laughing nervously because you know it's true. He is on staff as well as our community development intern pastor. Right? So you guys don't get to see me talk all that much. You guys don't get to see me up here a lot. But I'm behind the scenes steering things. Kind of scary, isn't it? You didn't realize I look so good. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I'm not a funny man. I'm not a funny man. So this morning, I get to talk about what we originally discussed was vision. I was going to cast some vision for the church for this year, for 2014. And as I started thinking and really digging into Scripture and really digging in and hearing from God, God, what do you want me to teach? He said, I don't need you to teach anything about vision. I need you to teach to these people today about freedom. About freedom. Now, it's going to be freedom at the form of death. Does that sound freeing? In the 1980s classic Tim Burton's Batman, Joker has a line in there. And he says, I've been dead once before, and it's very liberating. Think of it as therapy, he says. That's what we're going to think of it as today. Can we do that? What have we learned this last year, 2013? That God is, oh my goodness. Let's pack up and go home. God is good. That God is love. Does God love us very much? We've seen that displayed in the Old Testament. We see that displayed in the New Testament. We see that God desires to bring life. Two people from teaching team. Thank you. Thank you. God desires to bring life instead of, but in order to gain life, you have to. So you guys know this, right? I don't have to speak on this, right? Yes, I do. Which sucks because I really don't want to speak on this. I want to be your friend. I don't want to have to tell you that there is a way that we once lived, and that there is a way that God is calling us to live. I don't want to have to tell you that because I want you to continue to be happy. I want you to continue to smile. I want you to continue to like me and my words and everything else. And I thought, oh man, this is nothing new under the sun. The disciples taught about this. Where did the disciples get it from? Jesus. Can I read Jesus' words to you this morning? Can I? Now, I have to say this. I have to preface something real quick. I have been told by someone who loves me very deeply that I play with my mustache a little too much on stage. Now, what you don't know is she's sitting in the back laughing at me because I have some other nervous tic going on that she's seeing because I'm trying not to play with my mustache. And I'm going to find out what that is after I speak. And then I'm going to have something else to work on the next time I'm up here. So let me read these words of Jesus. Jesus in Matthew. This is what Jesus says to his disciples, which anyone who has said yes to Jesus is in fact a disciple. Okay, so pretend, let's go on our Wayback Machine, go, that Jesus is talking to us, because he is. This is what he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, what we know is Jesus continued to preach and teach and continued to walk with his disciples, and then he was murdered shortly after, right? He died for our sins, right? And if any man would want the grace and the life and those things that Jesus talked about, he needs to do what? She needs to do what? Are you guys following me? You got to die. You got to die. Can I tell you a personal story? Here we go. Here goes Adam talking about himself again. Actually, first of all, did everybody get a bulletin? No? Does anybody have a cell? Anybody that cannot text, you need a bulletin and a pencil. Is that anybody in the room? Okay. If you do, please come get one. There are golf pencils up here because I love to play golf. We have a whole box of these things. But I'd really want everybody to have one of these. In my Christian walk, in my walk with Jesus, in my accepting of the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart at the age of 11, you guys have probably already heard some of this story. You've heard the backstory on this, and you're thinking, oh, great, Adam's going to talk about it again. In my life, I am a pastor's kid. I am a fourth-generation pastor. I know I don't look it, but I am, trust me. I was raised in a Leave It to Beaver family. I had no issues at home. My parents love each other, still do today. Love me. I knew I was loved. I get that. I didn't come out of dysfunction. So at the age of 11, I give my life to the Lord, and I remember just being so broken because I realized that sin was within me. I realized that I had screwed up. And it wasn't because of any particular sermon that was taught. It wasn't because of any hellfire brimstone moment that worked with my emotions to push me there. It was because God said, hey, buddy, I need you to stop playing games. I need you to start living for me. And I said, God, I believe you. I believe in you. I believe in what you said. I believe in what you've done. And I want to live my life for you. Now, the same age, age 11, I am introduced to pornography. Pretty cool, beneficial stuff, right, for my life. From age 11 until 20s, even into my marriage and everything else, pornography was a thing that I kept to myself. Pornography was a thing that I loved and gravitated towards because it was easy. It was fun. I liked it. I didn't have a problem with it. I could do it in the privacy of my own home, and no one would look down on me like they would for public drunkenness or being high or being a jerk or being anything else, okay? So I carried this from age 11 till 20s of just really being steeped in pornography. Now, here is the problem with that. I am a pastor's kid who knows better, who gave my life to the Lord, who continues to hold on to this garbage in my life. this one area, this Achilles heel, if you want to get me, boom, lust, pornography, that's it. That's it for me. But with that comes a whole bunch of other issues. Now, here's the problem. I served in my church from, I don't know, probably 11, I was doing stuff, especially in my junior high school age. I was leading worship. I was in the band. I was playing on team. Not only that, but I even had a small group, a discipleship group, where I'm trying to help other people get past their own issues. I'm trying to tell them the way, the truth, and the life, and then that night, I'm getting on my computer, and I'm looking up the most unbeneficial, most death-giving things that I can possibly find, because that's what I want. Does anybody take issue with that? Does that kind of bristle you? Like, whoa, you're on stage. You're a leader. You're trying to help other people. This is not an isolated incident with just me. The method may be different. For you, it may not be pornography. For you, it may be spiritual pride. Is that a thing? Where you've got all the answers and you look down on everybody else because they don't agree with your perspective. For you, it may be beyond pornography. It may be you're going out of your marriage and you're cheating on your spouse, whether it be local people or prostitution somewhere in another state. I don't know. For you, it may be alcohol. For you, it may be alcohol so much to the point that your family suffers because you choose to continue to pour money down the drain, down your mouth, than shoe your children or feed your children or give a good quality of life for them. For you, it may be anger. This is a dead room right now, and I didn't want to get up here. I had dreams last night that I was going to get up and preach a hellfire and brimstone teaching. And I said, may it never be. And this is where we're going. We're getting hot and heavy. I don't know how else to talk about this. Here it is. God loves you so much, but he doesn't want to leave you where you're at. Let me say it again. God loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you where you're at. For you, it may be, I have been so jacked up by poor parenting skills of my father and my mother, and I am damaged goods, and I don't know how to love anybody any better than that. So I'm not even going to try. But Adam, you don't know what they've done to me. No, I don't, but I do know what Christ has done for you. I know what he's done for me. And it's huge. It's beyond anything I could do for myself. And Christ says what? If you come after me, you have to what? Lay your life down. And for years, I said, no, God, I will lay my life down. I will look good to other people. I will say the right things. I will do the right things, except for this one area. And I will not give you that because I don't want to. Because I like it. I was talking to Matt today in his office before we started and we were praying, and I just said, I practiced. It was like I went into a store and I saw the most expensive version of grace that I could see on the shelf. And I knew it was the best. And I said, yeah, but I think I want something cheaper. How much is that? Is that grace for a penny? The cheapest grace I can get, I'll take that, and that's how I will live my life. Now, what happened is God broke me. God broke me. God said, enough is enough, and you cannot continue to do this anymore. You cannot continue to do this and call yourself my disciple. You cannot continue to live this life that is not my life. and it broke me. Now, I'm not telling you that my lust issues are gone. God does work that way in some people. I've had friends that have been drug addicts and alcohol addicts that have just been, boom, all of that temptation has been gone. All of that has been lifted. They sobered up right then and there. I've heard stories of people coming out of the baptismal waters and they are just exorcised of everything that they've brought into their life and have never looked back. I don't stand here and I tell you that this new way of life has changed me 100%, but it's a work in progress, and it took me getting over this one issue of pornography that I said, this is more important to me than God. I spent more time on my computer on terrible websites than I did in the scripture. Is that an issue with anybody? I take issue with myself, but that doesn't even matter because Christ takes issue with that. Let me read you some more. How are we doing this morning? Anybody still out there? You guys haven't charged for the door, so I'm pretty excited about that. Romans 12. This is one of Jesus' disciples. His name's Paul. Okay? Romans 16, 24 through 27. I just want to read you guys this. This isn't anything new. Romans 12, 24 through 27, or 16, excuse me, 24 through 27 says this. No, it doesn't. Romans 12:1. That's what I'm looking for. Duh. I'm looking at the Matthew passage and calling it Romans, even though it's right in front of my face. This is what Paul has to say in Romans 12:1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son through the Spirit of holiness, who was declared with power to be the Son. That's not even the right one. What? 12:1. Thank you so much. I went back to Romans 1. Thank you guys for being gracious to me. Thank you. Even though you laughed at me, Michael. Here it is. It's titled Living Sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have you guys heard these words before? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You guys have heard these words before, right? This isn't anything new. You guys have heard this 1,000 times. I heard my buddy Craig Johnson, our discipleship guy, say this week as he was talking to someone else. I actually do listen when you speak, Craig, trust me. I heard him say, it's not how much scripture you memorize, or how much scripture you have read, but it's how much you live. It's how much you live. We can hear these words all day long. You guys, some of you will walk out of here today unchanged. Some of you will walk out of here and go to the same things that I just got done talking about. We'll go and be angry. Go and be prideful. Go and be spiritually prideful. Go to the liquor store right after this and with the intent of just getting blitzed. You will go to all of these things because these words didn't mean anything to you. And that's another part that scares me of when I teach, that my words will be empty and void in your hearts. Huh. Living sacrifices, right? Paul, he seems like a wise guy. Not in the comedic sense either. First Peter. A guy named Peter wrote it. He's kind of arrogant. He named it after himself. 1 Peter 4:1 says this, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin." Does anybody want to be done with sin this morning? Come on. Is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. Living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Peter seems like a pretty smart guy, right? We've spent enough time in our previous life doing all the garbage that we ever wanted to do, and yet we ascribe to this Jesus, much like I did, and I said, yeah, but I don't care about that. I know what you died for, but I'm going to continue to do the same things that you died for over and over and over and over again because they suit who me. They suit me and suit who I am and what I want to do. Am I a freak? Let me rephrase that. Am I the only case of this in the room this morning? Going back to Christ's words in Matthew, we have to lay down our lives, right? What we once were. When we say, Jesus, I believe in you and who you are, we have to lay down what we once were for what he desires us to become. And what does he desire us to become? Life and life givers, right? Yes. Are you with me? Come on. He desires us to become life and life givers. Let me continue on here. Colossians 3:9. Yep, Paul again. This is what he says, "Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." We think we're fooling each other, right? I thought I was. I looked like I don't even know, a Christian all-star of this day. I wouldn't dare say Rob Bell. I wouldn't even say Billy Graham at this point. I look like a Christian all-star because, hey, you know what? I was able to say the right things. I was able to do the right things. And every single time I came to a church service, every single time I led on stage, every single time I was to speak or give truth to someone, I had this nagging in the back of my mind. But yeah, man, you're not even giving it up yourself, and you're expecting people to do it. You're expecting people to go the extra mile that you're unwilling to go. And so we lie to each other. We say, yeah, well, you know, I'm great. Oh, no, man, that issue I had is gone. It's gone. We don't talk about that anymore. No need to talk about that. But yet we bring all this baggage and we bring all these issues. Let me keep reading. Romans 6:6. I think this one's actually the right verse, actually. Actually, let me just read 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, right? That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Are you guys catching the theme? Tanya asked me what I wanted to call this morning, and I said, you know, how about everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die? Nobody wants to give up. Nobody wants to tap out. Nobody wants to say, okay, you know what? This isn't beneficial for my life. This isn't good. This isn't healthy, and I need to get rid of it, but I'll cling to it. I'll cling to the hate. I'll cling to the misrepresentation of love that I was shown to my family, and so I will just continue to show that to my family and others around me. Even though Christ says something different, I'm not going to live it. You can make that choice, and you can go to church, and you can be a part of the body struggling with that, like I did, and it's not fun. You feel fake, you feel hollow, you feel like there's something more, and that's because there is. There's a whole other life that Christ calls us to. You guys have heard it from day one, since last year in January when we started talking about creation and we moved in through Adam and Eve and we talked about life and death. Do you guys remember these things? As we started talking about the Israelites and how they were saved from captivity by what God did for them, and they continued to choose death because, hey, it was easier. It's not easier, it's deception. There's no life in that. So this morning, you guys have blank paper. I want to put my phone number up if I could. You guys have blank paper and pencils. Every year, in fact, people were ready to write down their spiritual goals this week, which is sad, a sad testament to us, because that means we're becoming predictable. We're becoming a real church. Not really. But I want you guys, within 1 to 3 words, to either text — this is my phone number, so you don't have to worry about it. If I have your name in my phone book already, I'll just ignore it. You're welcome. I'll ignore the name. But here's what the leadership and I want to do. We want to pray. Where do you guys need to die this morning? Where is it? Where do you need to die? Where do you need to submit? For me, it was pornography. And once I got done and I said, God, it's yours, I can't do it anymore. This sucks. This is terrible. He said, okay, you're still going to struggle. You're still going to have some baggage left from this. But this is going to open up a whole new realm for you. This is going to open up a whole new door. And I will show you where I'm at. I will show you where you need to be in regards to who I am and who other people need to know me. I will minister through your stupidity. Everybody heard the Balaam's ass passage, right? God can speak out of asses. I'm living proof. But it took me getting over that hump. It took me dying to this one thing that I thought was the it. And God said, well, let's take this one thing. Thank you for giving it to me. And now let's work on how you parent. That one sucks. Let's work on how you love your wife. Let's work on how you love others. Let's work on how you even think you can even begin to pastor a church in Laramie, Wyoming. You guys know, because you know, because you know that God is life and he wants to bring life to you. Amen? If you don't know that, you've been deaf to what we've been saying this whole time. Do not mistake this life-giving God for a God that doesn't care about your current circumstances, for a God that will just turn a blind eye to whatever you want to do that's opposing him. That's not his way. That's your way. Okay? So I want you guys to text in one to three words of how I need to die, and our leadership is going to pray over this year. I guess in a sense this is vision casting, because what I see us doing is growing up. I see us becoming people who stop playing games, who start getting real with God, who start impacting Laramie like you would not believe, who start bringing kingdom here, who doesn't have to suffer with the baggage that I had to suffer with through years and years and years of hiding it. It still comes up. Last night, my wife and I were talking. I said, this is a message I don't want to give. This is a message that I don't want to talk about. This is a message that I don't want to call people to, even though it's essential to move on. And she said, well, you're going to tell any of your backstory. You're going to talk about, you know, who you were and what was going on, because I always wondered how you reconciled that. And it's one thing for me to say it, but it's another thing to hear your wife and someone who loves you see these things and say, I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you could continue on. And then she said, the more I thought about it, though, the more I realized I was just like you in my own way. In my own way of unwillingness to submit to God, to give my life to him, to lay it down. And so the thing I don't want to preach is probably the thing I needed to preach. Let me just read some Galatians 5 to you. Maybe this will help spark some, oh yeah, that for me. So I say, live by the Spirit, and I will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under law. This is when it gets real. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is real stuff. This is stuff that we all deal with. And the time is now to quit playing games. For some of you, right now, you don't know who Jesus is. You've never made that first step of saying, God, you know what? I believe in you. I believe in your Immaculate Conception. I believe that you died and rose again, and how are the way, the truth, and the life that you say you are. And I want to give my life to you. I want to dedicate my life to you. That's where it starts. And every time in Scripture that we see this proclamation being made, we see it followed by baptism, and that's why we baptize people here in a horse tank with freezing cold water. When the teaching team was up here, one of the questions that we got texted in was, why is the baptismal water so cold? That was apparently a really deep theological question that someone needed to hear and know. And I said, we want to give you the outdoor experience indoors. We're in Wyoming, right? So some of you, it needs to start here today. It needs to start with Jesus. Here's my life. Take my life. Some of you are like me, and you decided that, you know what, I know Jesus, and I've said the things, I've gone through the baptism, I've done all this stuff, and I'm just continuing to live life for 20-some-odd years to my own device, to my own way of wanting to do things. And to that I say, I've been there. I feel your pain. I've been there. It is not beneficial. I've been there. There is no life in that. I've been there. That is a trap of death. Okay? And so today, you need to make that decision that I need to die, and I need to die here. And I am not telling you that you're going to walk out of this door free as a bird with no temptation, with no desire to go back to these things. But this decision that you make today is going to be huge. This decision that you make during the week is going to be huge. This decision that you might not even make a decision today, you might be wrestling with it throughout the months, throughout years like I did. And you know what? There was a guy in Laramie when I was in school there that taught on this thing. And, oh, I get it now. I really get it now. Our leadership has been praying all week for you guys that God would give you. Remember when I taught on Ephesians 6? Kevin does. Kevin talked about it. Sorry to call you out. Kevin talked about it, and it was talking about, God, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that our hearts might know where you're at and where you need us to be. That's a paraphrase version. That's the Adam Koop NLT. Definitely not the Message. What I'm telling you guys is I get it. I'm a game player worth the best of them. And my life was okay. It was okay without those things. It was okay without submitting to God fully. But it was not. I looked good to people, and that was okay if that's what I was going for. I knew what I looked like to God, and that scared me. I knew that if my wife would find out, that I knew what I would look like to her, and that scared me. And little did I know that God would bring me to a church where this message would have to come up, this message would have to be taught, this message would have to be delivered to you today, this morning, because I'm not this isolated incident. We're in this together. We're all suffering with it to some extent or another. And it doesn't have to be these big monumental issues. Gossip is an issue. Did you know that? Speaking poorly of others is an issue. Do you know that? Constantly being negative is an issue. Do you know that? These are areas that you need to die in. And together, we're going to rock this community. Amen? It's only through Christ. It's only through laying down our lives and accepting this new life that he's asked us to live. And like Craig said, and like I just repeated him, it's not how much scripture you know. It's how much you live. And we can't pick and choose out of this thing what we say, hey, you know what, I like this, but I don't like that. We can't do that. That's not a Christ-like life. Do you guys understand that? So, where do you need to die this morning? I am praying that these texts, these cards, if you need to pass these cards in, you know what? There's boxes up front. There's a basket sitting on that back table. I think it's got some hats and games in it. We can just dump that. There's a basket even back there. Thank you, Tanya. If you guys have your cards, I want you to turn them in because this isn't a bash you over the head session. This is a calling to light what I know is here within us this morning. And this is a public call to you guys to know that, no, this is not okay to live like this any longer. We'll have struggles, we'll have setbacks, we'll have relapses. Some of us will. I get it. And that's where God's grace comes into play. And that's what I'm grateful for and thankful for. So where do you need to die this morning? I want to pray over us this morning. Let's pray. God, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. God, your kingdom come, your will be done in us and through us on earth as it is in heaven. God, and right now we cry out for forgiveness. We cry out for forgiveness of our sin. Forgiveness of where we fail to bring life. Forgiveness for when we run into the places that you're not. Forgive us for when we display attitudes that are not your own, when we have hearts that are not your own. God, forgive us. Again, as I read in Scripture, this is nothing new. This isn't anything that's shocking or jaw-dropping. This is all poisonous stuff that a broken people, a broken generation suffers with. God, and has suffered with for thousands of years. And so, Father, I don't speak with eloquence. I don't speak in flowery descriptions of what we're doing or how we're doing it. But, God, you spoke to this. Your son, Jesus, spoke to this. And he said, we have to die. If we truly want to follow him, we have to die. And that there is a way of life that we lived before that's no longer valid. But there's this new life that he's unpacked for us as we read his words. That is, and that's the only thing worth clinging to. And so, Father, press that in our hearts this morning. God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear. God, give us courage to confess. Give us courage to admit. Give us courage to not lie to one another as we suffer in these things, as we continue to bring death to ourselves. God, may we expose it with one another. May we talk about it with one another. May we know that there's love because we're loving like you are loving behind every person here. God, if we get real, if we get real and we're not only just hearers but doers of your words and we don't deceive ourselves by just sitting there filling our minds with knowledge. God, this place will be jumping. This place will be so powerful. This place will be so you that people won't want to stay away. And so, God, I pray against the things that were read out of Galatians 5 for our people. I pray for death to come this morning, right now. Not death because I said it, but because they have owned this for so long. But God, they're willing to submit. They're willing to tap out. They're willing to get it. They're willing to say, I know it might not look pretty from here on out, but God, I'm going to trust you and take you at your word and live like you've asked me to live. We love you and we thank you for your love that's been displayed to us. We're thankful for hearing how you have brought your people out of darkness into freedom, out of death into freedom, out of death into life. God, we want to be that success story. We want to be a part of that story. So this morning I pray it's so. I pray we're able to lay down our life and take up yours. It's in your name we pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Fun week, huh? Just another normal Adam Koop teaching. You guys need to know that I love you very much and that I am proud of who you are and who you are becoming. Do you know that? Now you do. I don't say it enough, but I've watched us move. I've watched us grow. I see our people get it. I've had countless people come up and just say, hey, you know what? This year I have read scripture from cover to cover and I had no idea. And it's beautiful. And my prayer is, okay, well, don't just read it to check it off your list, but live it. Okay? Can we do that? Can we read it and live it? All right. In the almighty words of grace and peace from Matt Coulter, in the almighty words of Matt Coulter, I misspoke. Grace and peace, guys. Thanks for showing up.